Hey, everybody, welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast. We are going to keep the train rolling with part two of my live Q&A session that I did on Facebook Live. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat, man. I did this when I lived in Costa Rica. Don't exactly know when that was, how exact date when I did this. It was like a year and a half ago or something like that. But I think you're going to get a lot of value out of this. And we're going to keep the train rolling with some really good questions that were asked by small service company owners and my responses to them. I hope you enjoy, and I'll see you tomorrow for part three.
Okay, so question number one. Okay, Gregory emailed me, what are the biggest differences in selling residential versus commercial? What are the biggest differences selling residential versus commercial? Really good question. And for those of you that emailed me and I said I'd try to use your question, I couldn't get to all of them because I had too many of them sent to me. Sorry about that. I'll try to get to some more tomorrow. Here's the deal. With residential and commercial, the sales cycle is totally different with each one. So a residential transaction is fast, right? They have an itch. You scratch it, they give you money, right? But with commercial sales, the life cycle, the sales cycle is way longer. So what happens sometimes is when your business is small and you say, man, it'd be nice to get that huge commercial account or that hospital or that whatever, that big wall of glass or that whatever, you get discouraged way too fast. It's normal. It's natural for it to take a minute to all come together with commercial. So you got to have a strategy. You got to think long term, and you focus on the relationships with two people, the gatekeepers and the decision makers, right? So when you're calling commercial people, you're like, hey, excuse me, can I give you a bid to do stuff and you pay me money? And they're like, click, 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 click. The people doing the clicking, those are the gatekeepers, right? They're there to block you from getting to the decision makers. And you can use phone, email, you can stop in, you can walk in, doesn't matter. The bigger companies have gatekeepers, which is okay because most people get discouraged and quit, but you're not going to do that because you're different, because you're awesome. And all you got to do is follow up. We did it every 6 weeks forever. Every 6 weeks forever. And the way we would do it, if we call on commercial accounts, is we call them and it's like, hey, Mary, it's Josh again. Not bugging you. Just seeing how things are going, you know, when you get your next fiscal budget in place or whatever. We'd love to be the people to come. And I make a joke about it. And you start building a relationship with the gatekeepers. You start building relationships with people. And before you know it, a year later, boom, $15,000 account here, $22,000 account there. My partner Chris kind of spearheaded an account that was worth over $250,000 for us. It took us a couple years of working and working and working and working to get that, to make that happen. So focus on the long term. The other thing is, and I'll get off this question, is that the decision makers, they change all the time in those corporations, right? They don't stay there for 20 years. So you keep calling, and the one guy might not have wanted to get a quote from you for something, but then boom, a new guy comes in, he might want to do it. And with residential, the sales cycle is shorter. You have a call to action with a marketing piece like, hey, you have an itch. I can scratch it, and I'll scratch it for 50% off if you call right now for me to scratch it, right? That's kind of the difference. Okay, but you want to have a systemized strategy for both. Question number two is from Peter. He said, what do you think of Colin Kaepernick? Well, probably shouldn't comment on that one. All I'll say is America. Anyway, no, I was kidding on that one. But okay, so real question. Brandon, what are some good questions to ask when I interview people? I got a special secret for you here. I got something cool. I pulled up my old Birds Beware interview worksheet that we used when we interviewed people. And I pulled a lot of this stuff from like books I read and podcasts I heard, or I don't know where, but I kind of compiled it into this really simple worksheet. It worked really well for us. So I'm going to show you what's on it. So how do you put together, or how do you interview people, right? Okay, let me switch the camera on this real quick. Okay, awesome. Can you guys see this? Give me some likes, give me some love. Got a little lag here. Okay, so check this out. So at the top, we have the interviewer, the date, and then the person being interviewed, right? And then the interviewer has this on a clipboard, and they're filling this out as they're talking to the candidate, right? The general appearance, 1 through 5, 5 is good, 1 is bad, intelligence, friendliness, communication, confidence, motivation to work, right? Okay, so this is good stuff, guys. This is killer. Now, check this out. So he's filling out this top form while he's doing the interview, just kind of looking back, sitting back in his chair, like looking down his little bifocals. Here's some of the questions. Question number one, so, Bob, what's your story? What's your story? Number two, why did you leave your last job? Why have you had so many jobs over the past years? We only ask that if there's an indication that they had a lot of jobs. Like on a resume, if someone has like 3 different jobs as references and they're all within a year or two, we would ask that. That's why it's indented, because we didn't always ask it. But the reason we ask questions like, so what's your story, is because we want to see if these people can communicate. We want to get a feel of who they are. We want to throw them off guard. You want them to be off guard, because interviews are like a first date. Interviewing employees is like a first date with a woman or a man, and it's all crap, right? It's all crap. It is so crap. Like, you got to dig through as much as you can by asking open-ended questions. So I would ask questions like, who is your role model and why? Who is your role model and why? I love that question. Some people don't have them. And so you can see that deer in the headlights when you ask it. And that doesn't mean they can't work here if they don't have one, but it gives you a really good insight into how sharp is this person? Can they think on their feet? What's their deal? Do they have goals? Where do you hope to be in 3 years? Tell me about a situation where you had conflict at work. How did you resolve it? People like to say that they've never had conflict at work. That just means they haven't worked long, because that happens. Page 2, what would you do if someone gave you $1 million today? This is my favorite question. What would you do if someone gave you $1 million today? How cool is that? What is important to you in life? You know, what is important to you in your job? What's the last book you read? Right? If their answer is the magazine Higher Times, might not be a good candidate for your employee. You know what I'm saying? Why are you a good fit for this job? And then what questions do you have for me? Now, to wrap this up, and this is very conversational, very positive. We didn't like act all tough guy to people or anything like that. But the very end, here's what we'd do. This is a note for the interviewer. Because, you know, at the end, last 2 years, I wasn't interviewing people. My team interviewed and hired people, right? And then they would maybe send me an email of the best ones, and then we'd talk about it. But I would let them make the decision, because they already knew. They talked to all the people. So they put notes, and we keep records of all this. But describe all bad aspects of the job. I think people, they're like, why would you describe the bad aspects of the job in your interview, Josh? Well, because I want to talk them out of it. I want to talk them out of it, man. This is my chance to talk them out. Is it Zappos? Michael Geller just joined. He knows everything. Is it Zappos that actually pays people to quit? Like, their new hires, I think they pay them like $4,000 to quit. That's crazy, right? Well, the reason they do that is because it's way more valuable to get them to leave now than to have them be disengaged, not emotionally invested in what you're doing in the long run. So $4,000 is a steal, right, for Zappos. So this is my miniature version of that. When we describe the bad aspects of the job, we would tell them, this job is really, really hard. And you work outside, and it's hot and sweaty, and when it rains, you're still working. When it's cold, you're still working. When your fingers hurt, you're still working. If you're 5 minutes late, you get written up. If you're blah, 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 right? So we would describe all of that, and then they get this look like. But then we would describe the good aspects of the job. And we'd say things like this. We're a weird company. Honestly, Bob, we are a very strange company. We're not the biggest company on the planet. I can't make all of your hopes and dreams come true, but I'll tell you what's different about us. We literally care about you, your family, and everybody that works here. And this business is like my child. And, you know, I will defend and protect it. And when you work here, you become part of that family. We care about you. We're going to invest in you. We hope to grow you as a person, train you in the business. We look at this as a long-term partnership, and you will be heard here, and you'll be respected here. So we'd say things like that, and people just loved it. They'd freak out, right? Okay, so that's that question. That was a good one. That was a good one. So question from Josh. Hey, great name you got there. how do I put together a successful outbound calling campaign to my current customers? Okay, I've said this before. My opinion is that the most underutilized tool on the planet for all of us, all these small businesses in America, is the phone. People don't get on the phone, man. They're freaked out. Or they'll make like 3 calls, or they'll make like 11 calls, and they all go to voicemail, and they're like, oh, thank God, no one answered, right? The phone is a mega powerful weapon for you. Huge, huge, powerful. Keith Kelpis! How you doing, Keith? I was Snapchatting you just a few minutes ago, being weird. Anyway, so how do you put together a successful outbound calling campaign for your current customers? Number one, actually do it. Write that down. That's a really tough concept. Actually do it. Number two, my face is burnt. Well, it's because I'm in Costa Rica, man. I'm a gringo. Number two is you have to do enough of it. You have to do enough of it. You can't do just enough to fail. If you're going to do a calling campaign to your customers, call all of your customers. And don't stop until you've done it, right? But on a more serious note, when you're doing the phone call, you got to be confident. Fake it till you make it. You'll feel weird at first, excuse me, but you have to just go for it. Make it a courtesy call, not a sales call, right? Because again, we are a luxury service, providing luxury services to people who desire luxury stuff, right? So the call is not like, hey, Mary, can you pay me to clean your gutters, please? I need to buy groceries for little Billy. No, you don't do that. It's like, Mary, hey, it's Josh over at Birds Beware. Super happy I caught you. You're actually due for your next service, and we have mornings and afternoons available. What time works best for you next week? Boom. Boom, right? That is not hard to memorize something like that. And if you notice, the way that I said that was I was assumptive, and I did what's called a forced choice close. So I didn't say, hey, it's time for you to get your house washed. What do you think? You want to do it? I didn't say that. I said, Mary, I'm so glad I caught you. It's Josh at Birds Beware. I have a note to call you because you're due for another service. And we have next Thursday morning or next Tuesday afternoon better available. Which works best for you? That's called a forced choice close. It's not a yes or no question. It's like, are you going to do this or are you going to do that? Which one do you pick? Because they're both great for me. So that's why I say it like that. Did you want to pay with a check or a credit card? Right? What works best for you? You know, weekends or weekdays? Things like that. Those are forced choice closes. And in closing on that question, just take massive action, be consistent, and you know, people can feel your negative, terrified energy on the phone. If you have to stand up when you make these calls, do it. If you have to stand up and be all like freaked out, do it. It's worth it. It's not about being cheesy, but it really can help you until you get comfortable. Okay, so question number 5 is from Megan, and Megan says, how do I get my employees to actually upsell things? This is a good one. Who here has had problems with this, right? Like you tell your team, like, all right, guys, let's go upsell stuff, and then nothing happens. That happens all the time, right? So people just stop trying, or they just get really mad and they're frustrated all the time, right? Who has had that happen? So give me some likes, give me some shares. Hey, I'm just going to pause for a second. Whoever shares this, I'm giving away an Automate Grow Sell binder. Okay, it's nice, thick, cushy, awesome, real 24-karat gold embossed. No, it's just fake gold. And it's full of systems and awesomeness. And this is what you have when your business is fully built out, is a standard operating procedures like this, baby. We're going to mail you one for sharing this because this is valuable for people. And I joke a lot. But really, for some certain people, this is mega, mega important information, and they didn't know some of this stuff. So I want to serve you guys. Okay, so how do you get them to actually upsell things? Well, step number one is to stop trying to make your employees be used car salesmen. Stop it. Stop it. They're not used car salesmen. They want to clean stuff. They like to go hang out on the weekend with their boys, and they're laborers, right? They don't want to be a used car salesman, because if they were, they would have done that because they'd probably make more money, right? They hate trying to upsell things because they view it as them trying to get someone to do something they don't want to do, and they suck at doing it anyway. So you have to stop. You have to stop asking them to do it. So here's how you fix it. You do not upsell stuff. Instead, you make professional recommendations, okay? Now, When your company has uniformed, clean-cut, well-trained technicians and they're dialed in and their confidence level's high and they feel like a real professional, like they're part of a real trade, okay, when they feel like that, part of your core culture can be, look, guys, you guys are experts. You are professional recommenders to our customers. We are here to serve them. And when they have a need, when they have a legitimate need, like you're there cleaning something, but their deck is nasty and covered in mildew, and you want to upsell the deck cleaning, you do not have that guy say, hey, Mrs. Smith, how'd you like a quote for me to clean your deck, too, while we're here? That doesn't work. No. Instead, the uniformed, ID badge, clean-cut, confident, well-trained, high-level professional technician says this. Mrs. Smith, hey, do you have a second? Listen, I noticed that you have a lot of mildew and all kinds of stuff on your deck. And, you know, that can be very slippery, especially when it rains. And I would highly recommend you have that cleaned. Was that something you planned on doing yourself, or would you rather have us take care of it? Boom! Boom! If you do that, listen to me, if you do what I just said, you will make tens of thousands of dollars extra than if you didn't do that. It's very simple. Very simple. So, I noticed blank, I recommend blank. Okay? It's awesome. Step number three to getting your employees to actually upsell things. So, let's recap. Don't let them be used car salesmen. Have them become professional recommenders, not upsellers. So when they're professional recommenders and they do what I just said, the third step to make this thing be a rocket ship for you is to gamify it. Gamify it. Make it a game. Make it fun, okay? And put some skin in the game. You know, some of you guys are out there, you're like, hey, if you upsell $1,000 worth of something, I'm going to give you... You can have the bottle returns from our office soda cans, you know, or something stupid. No, make it awesome. We had a variety of trophies. We had these little trophies, and they'd say something epic on it. One of the trophies we had was called the Fine-Tuned Machine Award. And this thing had Velcro on the bottom, and it would go from truck to truck to truck to truck each week during our meeting. And whoever had the fewest callbacks coupled with the highest revenue. So whoever's producing the most... with the least amount of callbacks that you can get a number out of that, a metric, a ratio, we would give them that trophy and we'd like high-five them and give them gift cards and massages and movie tickets and all kinds of stuff. And the reason we did that was to gamify all the stuff we were doing. So it should be fun when they come to work. You can make it once a month, but here's another tip on that. I didn't like to give people just cash for upselling. I like to give them things that they have to use for themselves. Something they have to take their wife out to dinner because you get them, you know, $100 gift card to some 5-star restaurant that they never would have went to on their own. But now when they're there, when they're enjoying that meal, what's on their mind? What kind of neuro, you know, connecting stuff's going on in their head associating, this is freaking awesome. Josh gave me this because I just followed the system. This is freaking awesome. I'm at a hotel for a 3-day weekend because I won this contest. I love my job. I have nothing to compare it to, right? Okay, so gamify it, but do it in an epic way. Epic, okay? Here's my last question. Whew, I'm getting tired here. And if you missed part of this, just go back and watch it. There's some really good stuff in here. And yesterday I had one of these too, and you can actually watch yesterday's. And then tomorrow night I'm doing one more Q&A at the same time, 8 o'clock. And then Thursday is the main event. Thursday is the ultimate breakout session. It's a one-hour training with me and Michael Dahlke. Dahlke has a $5 million cleaning business. I think 6 years ago it was doing $60,000 in revenue. He knows a lot of stuff. It's a really good free training. So you got to go there. Derek can drop the link on how to register for that. But last question. What is the best marketing strategy you have ever found for your business? This is easy. This is easy. Or as Keith Kelfis would say, this is easy. If you don't know Keith Kelfis, you're really weirded out right now. Anyway, so the best marketing strategy I ever found for my business was, number one, current customers. Current customers. You know, there's only three ways to make money, guys. Get new customers, or get more money from your current customers, or both. This is the key right here, both. Okay, so step number one is to focus on ways to extract more dollars, more revenue from your current customers. So, do you know what your average ticket is right now? Do you have simple little strategies like the I noticed blank, I recommended blank? Do you have those in place to take your average ticket and creep it up, creep it up, creep it up? Right? When I started year one, my average ticket was like $130, and it went up to $150, then to $180, then to $225, then to $280, then to $350, and then to $450, right? And the market where we were was not a super high-end expensive area. But we did that through strategies and through culture and through execution and by being freaking awesome at little things. Okay, so your current customers, get on the phone with them, send thank you cards to them, send appointment reminders to them, engage them, care about them, email them. You got to do all of that stuff, okay? If you're not doing that, you're leaving the largest, most easy piece of the revenue pie out there. You just, it's like free pie, man. You got a fork, eat the pie. Eat the pie, man. So the second thing is five arounds. And I talk about five arounds all the time. People are like, oh, Josh, five arounds are stupid, blah, blah, blah. They're stupid because you haven't done them right yet, okay? Five arounds are really, really powerful if, and oh, wait, let me explain what five around is. So you have a customer at 123 Main Street, and this customer, Bob, he has neighbors. And so the two neighbors next to him and the three across the street, right? These three across the street and then the two, that's what we call a five around. That's the most inexpensive organic way to get a high response rate to your marketing is when you target them. But here's how you do it right, okay? You have to make whatever you're leaving them, whether it's a door hanger or a flyer or a whatever or a direct mail piece, has to be personalized. It has to be somehow personalized. You can personalize it in lots of different ways. You could make a handwritten note on it. You could make an expiration date on it that you handwrite. You could take a picture of their house and put it on it. That's what we did. That's why I made Send Jim, the software. A lot of you guys already use Send Jim. I'm not here to sell you Send Jim, but it does do that very well. So make it personalized. Put a real price for your service up front. Boom. Weed out the tire kickers. Put your price on there. And people just want to know how much it is, man. They don't want to call you and have you be all slimy, salesy to them. Put the price. Put an expiration date. Put it on the neighbor's thing, okay? That's how you do it. Now, here's the second thing that has to happen or this will not work. It'll work. It'll work seven times less effective than if you do this next thing. Okay, you ready? Are you ready? Give me some thumbs up. Give me some shares. Anybody got a step into a Send Gym? That's awesome. It's probably like a trademark violation. If you share this, I'm done. I'm going to give you the secret weapon to make five rounds work where you get stupid response rates. Stupid. Okay? And if you share this, other people can watch it later. I'll send the binder, the Automate Grow Sell binder with business systems in it, booyah, to you. We'll mail it to you on Thursday morning. I'll pick a winner, okay? So, let's recap. What's the best marketing strategy you found for your business, Josh? Number one, your current customers. You got to follow up with them. You got to thank them. You got to appointment remind them. You got to do all that stuff. Number two, five arounds, which I just explained, has to be personalized. And here's the big one. Here's the mic drop secret. You have to drip on them multiple times. I call that a sequence. Boom, right? Mic drop. No, you have to hit them with that message multiple times, multiple times, multiple times. You will get more calls on the third time you hit them than you did on the first time, okay? That's the secret. I know it freaks you out. The hardest part about doing this is actually physically going out and, like, doing it and figuring out how to, like, build a way to keep going back to all the neighbors of your thing and keep doing it. It's difficult to do it by hand, but you can. And if you do, you'll crush it. If you're really small, you just go do it once a week. You just make it back through. Now, Also, if you use Send Gym, and we'll just make this the final link. Send Gym is an app I built for an iPhone. It's for all kinds of service businesses. I built it for my own company before I sold it, eventually turned it into its own business. That's what I do now down here in Costa Rica. That's my main thing. It's sendgym.io, and it can do a five around for you automatically. You can take a picture of a house, push a button, and it will drip a sequence on them. So it'll physically, in the mail, send them a postcard with a real price on it and a picture of their house on the front of the card and be like, hey, we just did work for your neighbors. You should call us too. And then guess what happens? A week later, another one goes. Different one. A week later, boom, boom. Most people do 3 to 5 card sequences spread a week apart. If you do that, guys, you will kill it. You will crush it. Now, there's been a few times where I've had people do it and it just wasn't quite working for them, but 9 out of 10 people that are doing this the right way are killing it. They're doing great. Derek uses it in Arkansas for his business and gets like a 20% response rate on his cards. That's insane. So, that's it. I hope I provided value to you. I'm here to serve you. I did a Q&A last night. I did this one now. Then tomorrow I'm going to do one more Q&A. Email me your questions.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.